na 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 What?
Well, hello, Scott. Just shut up. It's really important to me that you shut up. Hello and welcome to the Simpleton Podcast. My name is Daniel James. I'm coming to you live from Melbourne, Australia, this evening. And joining me, as always, is old Scotty G back in Berlin. How's it going, mate?
You asked me how it's going. I'll tell you, this is how it's going.
Hmm. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
What are you opening there?
Coke. So, what's up?
It's funny because in the run through, the initial run through, it was it peach snaps? I think it was peach snaps, wasn't it?
Peach snaps in a strange little can. It was, it, you know what it was too.
Pretty difficult to mess up the difference between Coke and peach snaps, Scott. But look, that's your problem, and I'll leave you to that.
Yeah.
Well, we're back. And we want to give this commitment to our listeners. And let me just break out a character here for a second, Scott, if I may.
Should I?
Do it.
All right.
We are going to make the commitment that from now on, we're going to do this podcast on a weekly basis. And to assist us in doing that, we've actually set up a Patreon account in which loyal listeners – potential investors in excellence can actually donate a little bit of their hard-earned to make sure that we can do three things. One, upgrade our website. Two, upgrade our equipment, which desperately needs to happen. And three, buy us some time so we can produce more podcasts more often. Now, if you've got a little bit of spare coin that you want to donate to a couple of hard-working country boys like ourselves... then by all means, go to patreon.com/simpletonpodcasts and you'll see a range of donation features there that will get you different sorts of things. I urge you to go there and play with it. But if not, you can just go to the front page of our website and there'll be a button linking you to our Patreon account. So patreon.com/simpletonpodcasts. Scott, what would you do with the general donations of our listeners if we were fortunate enough to
booze and
get
hookers.
Some?
Booze, hookers.
What? What? Hang on, wait, cut. Scott, what would you do with the hard-earned cash of our donators if we were fortunate enough to have some?
An orphanage. I'd build one.
Yeah. Nah, look, I think it's probably better if we just get some new equipment and spend a bit more time working on these podcasts because... The quality is lacking as well as the quantity.
Look, we're still here. Quality is lacking, and what did you say? Quantity as well. We're still here, like Nathan Buckley. So we're in the same boat. The quality is lacking, but we're still here.
Well, we started this podcast back in 2011, Malthouse's final year, I believe.
Oh, it was the year before.
Well, we've basically been at the helm of the Simpleton. As long as Nathan Buckley has been at the helm of the Collingwood Football Club.
And in many ways, our journey has mirrored that of Nathan Buckley's.
It has. It's been a mediocre experience at best and disappointing for all.
And yet some people...
And if the Simpleton had a president that actually had some balls to do something, he would sack both of us on the spot.
Yeah, but what if
and reinstate Mick Malthouse as the host of the Simpleton?
Daniel, I'm lost. You know how you were out of character before, appealing to the Simpletons.
I'm back in character now, back Scott.
I was a little bit lost. I'd usually like to chime in to encourage them strongly, you know, to come forth and pay, but I didn't know. How strongly?
Just don't get in the way when I'm on a roll, Scott. Otherwise, I'll just roll right over you.
Gotcha. Vanuatu.
Yes, time for the World Report.
World Report.
Okay, Scott, what's the World Report about this week?
Vanuatu, Daniel. This week's World
yummy,
Report.
Yummy, Iglat Blong Talam Si.
What was that then?
Yumi, 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 I'm en blong Vanuatu.
You're ignoring me. But what you're obviously doing now is singing the national anthem, Daniel.
God I give and bless, ya long yummy, yumi glad Thomas, long him. Yumi strong mo, yumi free long him, yumi brata Irivan.
Bravo, bravo. Somewhat broken, but you are singing their national anthem in their native language. What is the name of their language, Daniel?
Vanuatuan, Scott. Simple as that.
Yeah, I feel like I should have... Daniel, I want to be frank with you. I feel like I should... Because not everyone's going to heed your call. There'll be some people who offer some coin to help us along. Not everyone's going to, and I already feel like I should abuse them, those who don't.
Yeah, yeah. Look, let's just stick with the rating sheet for now, Scott. And if you feel like abusing them later on, by all means.
We'll... Do, but as
now, of course,
gentlemen,
Scott, I know the national anthem of Vanuatu quite well.
Yeah,
I was there on Independence Day on the 30th of July, which of course they first gained independence from, Scott.
Central African Republic.
No, the Chinese, you idiot.
The Chinese.
Yeah.
Ah, so I see. I see. So it was the Central African Republic, of course, who were the colonial masters of Vanuatu, but there must have been some sort of changeover as vis-a-vis Hong Kong, British to Chinese rule. So
exactly
I guess
the same.
Exactly the same. So from Central African Republic to Chinese rule to independence. Daniel, how long ago did Vanuatu gain its independence from China?
12 years ago, Scott. 12 years ago.
12 years ago, it's when it all happened. And look, it all happened back then, 12 years ago, July 30th, Daniel.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get to the point. Some Chinese warships recently visited the archipelago for a short stopover at around the time of the Independence Day celebration.
For a sing-along?
Sing-along was certainly part of it.
Okay.
This was not only a gesture of congratulations, but also an acknowledgement of the decades-long friendship. You told me that in one of the recent surveys, the listeners disapproved of burping, so I did that quietly. This was not only a gesture of congratulations, but also an acknowledgement of the decades-long friendship between the two nations. Where does...
that's good of you, Scott. That's, to put it lightly, that's very diplomatic of you. Well done.
Yeah, what do you mean about that then?
Well, you know, there have been mounting tensions, let me just say that.
have there?
I'll let me continue. The acting PM of China, Mr. Ham Limi, in a press conference, Scott, emphasised China's recognition of the Vanuatuan independence, freeing from what he described as a colonial yoke. Which
right. So the Chinese referred to their own prior colonial rule over Vanuatu as a colonial yoke. Is that right,
yeah,
Daniel?
Yeah, weird. Yeah, weird. it was a chance to take a pot shot at Vanuatu's former colonial masters, which of course we know who they are, Scott. You ought to call it as it is, though.
Daniel, I did catch the press conference of the acting PM of China, Mr. Ham Linney. That was actually part of a joint press conference called...
Scott, you're waffling.
Yeah, it was held with along with the... announcement of Nathan Buckley's 2-year extension.
Right.
The joint conference.
Down there at the Lexus Center.
Yeah. So yeah. I have no issue, Daniel, with you calling it what it is. But to be quite specific about
Scott, just listen up. It's a good story, and your research thus far has been tremendous. It's absolutely been terrific. Terrific. All good, fella. All good. But I just wanted to point out that the visit was in late June.
Yep.
And at least according to my sources, you're a touch late, but not to worry.
Yeah. All right. But we haven't done one of these for a while. The story has been on ice. When was our last podcast?
Fucked if I know. Yeah.
Sounded like Ando. You and him have been in cahoots, haven't you?
Yes, we've been standing down the Punt Road end on no less than 3 occasions, watching the Mighty Tigers tear various sides such as GWS.
A new orifice.
A new orifice, yes.
Right.
Proceed, Scott. We're waffling. Stick to the fucking script.
We're waffling. The enemy has... Okay. Anyway, the 25th Chinese Naval Escort Task Force, the 25th CNETF, arrived in Port Vila for what Prime Minister Shalu Selwai of Vanuatu described as a significant milestone in the development of Vanuatu-China relations. Moreover, Mr. Selwai said that the visit by the 25th CNETF will help deepen the state's and military relations between the two countries. Daniel, over to you.
Yeah, it's a fine unit, that one, Scott. The detachment is actually commanded by Rear Admiral Jing Jiangcheng, who is also Deputy Commander of the Aviation Force under the PLA Navy's South China Sea Fleet. A fine man, an absolute fine man. I've met him once and more than that, actually. but you also neglected to mention the ships themselves, which from memory...
Could you tell me from memory what those are?
Stop fucking interrupting? Fucking tool. If I
from memory
recall, they would be the Hengyang and Yulin class,
yeah,
both of which everyone knows is a missile frigate.
Yeah.
As well as the Honglu, one of the finest supply ships in which I've ever had the pleasure to sail, Scott.
Right, I won't quiz you. That was a little lead-in, the last sentence. You want me to quiz you on that, then you release some more hot air. I won't do that on this occasion.
Can you just fucking stick to the fucking running sheet and stop fucking around? Thank you.
To sum up, because I do want to throw it over to you. You see, you have been very patient during this segment. I'm very appreciative of that. The visit was to mark the ongoing friendship between the two nation states. And who'd know where the Central African Republic fits into this? I guess they've washed their hands of the whole matter. But my question is this.
They've washed the yoke off their hands, Scott.
All right, good. If the shit really hits the fan and things would turn sour between the two, China and Vanuatu, how would it turn out? That's the crux of the matter here.
So you mean in a sort of a militarily sort of conflict between China and Vanuatu?
Our listeners are not very complex. They don't know no crap about economics or whatever. They just want to know what happens when the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, no, they're here to learn. You know,
yeah.
The question that the simpleton audience is: well, they don't give a fuck about detail. What happens when the bombs start dropping and the guns start blazing? That's all they give a fuck about.
Yeah. The key term, Daniel. Potential variables.
There's a shitload of potential variables in this one, Scott. A fucking truckload.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, it would be interesting to know who would win in a head-to-head mashup, don't you think? Look, there are lots of sorts. There are all sorts of measures and countermeasures that could be taken, Scott, of a diplomatic and economic nature. But
Let me bip in a moment, Daniel. We tried to say it diplomatically before. Listen. If the combined brain matter of our entire listenership was dynamite, it wouldn't ruffle a single hair on anyone's head, Daniel.
Are you venturing into insulting the potential non-contributors to our Patreon account?
Daniel.
Is that what you're doing subconsciously?
Possibly. I tried to say it nicely before, and now you've made me say it. Listen.
Yeah.
They only care about when the shit hits the fan. And we're talking hot conflict between the two nations.
Back on that, there are a bunch of variables, Scott. Let's start off with a look at the relative size of the two militaries, shall we?
I just want to bip in. Let me bip in here. Let me bip
Scott,
in.
Scott, you're fucking waffling.
Daniel, in primary school, and you would well remember this, during recess or lunch, Hayden Lamaro, Rory Hilton and Andrew Mills, often only the three of them, played footy, took one side against 40 or 50 others and kicked their butts every single time. So raw numbers do not always tell the story, Daniel. Second point, DAC. Luke's tail gunner from The Empire Strikes Back during the Battle of Hoth. He stated emphatically that he would be more than willing to take on the entire Empire all on his own, Daniel. Again, numbers are only part of the story. So don't get caught up on them. I know how you're going to counter.
While we're at it, I remember that time back in primary school, back in 88 or 89, I think it was.
Yeah.
That approximately 400 to 500 children.
Sorry.
Can you shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
I remember back in 1988, Scott, back in primary school, Yarrawa Primary School it was, that there was roughly 400 to 500 adolescent children just chasing this one individual.
Darren Hall.
And yeah, okay. Let's code name it, Darren. They were chasing Darren around the play yard for what seemed like 2 or 3 hours, and it was only a 45-minute lunch break.
Yeah.
But Scott, he survived. He survived. So let's delve deeper into the basic numbers between the difference in Vanuatu's and China's military muscle, shall we?
Right, we shall. Of course, as a 10-year-old.
Let me start off with by saying the People's Liberation Army has a standing military of about 5 million, including reservists. Well, at last count, the Vanuatuan armed forces comprised of 547 police officers. Yeah, that's what I said.
You said compromised.
Some of which are, can you shut the fuck up?
Continue.
Yeah, around 547 police officers, some of which are also trained in parliamentary duties.
Parliamentary duties. Paramilitary, don't
you? Paramilitary duties, but undoubtedly some of them are parliamentarians as well.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Look, at this point, I think you and I can both concur. The numbers do paint a lopsided picture at first glance.
On paper.
China has been one of the least imperialistic among the current world powers, at least in a global military sense, being more intent on flexing muscle on a regional basis. So let's assume that if military conflict did indeed break out, it would more likely, hypothetically, be a Vanuatuan strike on the Chinese mainland or nearby territories as opposed to vice versa. Hypothetically,
yeah.
Daniel.
I'm getting to get a little bit uneasy with this, Scott.
Yeah.
To be frank, my initial optimism about the Vanuatuan's military's chances in this GA conflict are beginning to wane somewhat, and I'm actually beginning to think, oh, not again.
Oh, no, not again. About what? You're waffling now.
Well, the story of the visit, you know, from the Chinese, the mutual friendship was a little gem, you know.
Yeah.
But let's say, and heaven forbid, and let's be frank about this.
Yeah.
A hot conflict between the two, if it were to break out, is highly unlikely to involve a Vanuatuan invasion of the Chinese mainland.
To substantiate that claim, I think you'll need to make some points, Daniel.
Yeah. Be careful not to break through the third wall, Scott, okay? Every one of those 547 officers, and we're talking about the Vanuatuan military here, would be needed to fought an exhibition and then more.
Oh, needed for the expedition. It's a typo.
The exhibition. Yeah, well, just fucking learn how to type then. They would be needed to go to China, and then who would police the archipelago, Scott?
A good point.
I ask you that. Don't answer.
The new recording is going. The new recorder is working beautifully. By the way, I just looked at it.
Shut up! Fucking lay off the schnapps,
man.
Transport, for instance, the Vanuatuan police have one patrol boat, RVS Tukoro, which is probably better described as a dinghy, Scott, than a boat, and it's not going to be able to take 547 men to China undetected. Scott, in fact, it wouldn't even go close to catering that many. I think the maximum capacity of it is around about 5. So unless you're willing to make several return trips to get the men over there and transport them back, it's going to be a real issue. And even provided that they were successful, how would 547 men, assuming no casualties were taken, successfully occupy and govern mainland China?
Hearts and minds.
Yeah, are we talking Malthouse again, or are we still on the same? We're still talking about Vanuatu, are we?
Talking about the same thing, Daniel. Let's say that the 507 Vanuatuans managed to take over China without casualty.
Yeah.
Yes, they would be spread thin. It's about the hearts and minds that they're
fucking thin.
Look,
very thin.
What?
So you think the military, the Vanuatuan military, would go over there and win them over with their charm and charisma?
Hearts and Minds, Daniel. George W. Bush.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did that turn out for George W., Scott?
But if the situation was reversed and China moved to annex Vanuatu, that would be out of character, not very imperialistic on the global scene.
No, that's true.
No. I'd like to point out it's a well-known tenet of military doctrine that if you're the attacker, you're going to need... You're going to need to outnumber the defenders 10 to 1, at least 10 to 1, possibly more. Daniel, how would a Chinese attack on the Vanuatu and mainland work out?
If I'm honest, I'd say it'd probably be a rout. An absolute rout.
We didn't conclude, though...
Yeah,
if the Vanuatuans attacked China and occupied, we asked the question, but we didn't conclude, did we?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, continue,
Scott.
What a mess!
What an absolute fucking mess! And it wasn't helped by your constant interjecting and drunken asides. Scott, it's time for an ad.
Do you have a problem with rodents? Whether it be around the house, yard, shed, or place of work, I'd be willing to bet that you have a problem with rodents. The Merton Exotic Animal Clinic believes that using sprays or pesticides on rats is a lose-lose situation. A lose for the environment, and a lose for the rats. But there is a fair way to deal with those unwelcome little guys, and a humane way that is in the best interests of all concerned. At the Merton Exotic Animal Clinic, we are celebrating the 7th month anniversary of our grand opening with a special offer to spay or neuter your rodents at dramatically reduced prices. In fact, for every 9 rodents that we spay or neuter for a highly competitive $40 a head, we will do the 10th one for half price. Each rodent will receive free antibiotics and pain medication for a week after surgery. And the use of dissolvable sutures instead of staples is designed to ensure that no follow-up consultancy will be necessary. But if it is, we will not only come to you, but a 10% discount per rodent will apply to any treatment pertaining to post-surgical complications. The Merton Exotic Animal Clinic, serving the Greater Merton area proudly and humanely.
Okay, Scott, before we go to the sports report, I believe that we've got a traffic report, and I'm glad we've got that because your sports report is guaranteed to be inane, petulant, and generally shit. So it's time now that we cross to Robert Hennell in the Calypso Sports Traffic Chopper.
Thanks, Daniel. There's been a fall walking frame crack near the corner of Elizabeth and Kennedy Streets. Paramedics are at the scene, and the fire brigade has doused the scene with foam to reduce the risk of ignition. Motorists heading towards the Marsden Herb Farm are advised to take Creek Drive via Mansfield Road. An avalanche has blocked Bogie Road just south of the Old McMartin's joint. Neville Lawson is at the scene for no apparent reason. Take your used tomato tins into Anderson Motors for 70% off your next brake and clutch service. 400 and 800 gram tins only. This has been the iWatch Chopper brought to you by Calypso Sports.
Thank you, Robert. Time for the sports report.
I'll tell you what's an invaluable service, that one, the traffic report, Daniel.
Urawa and surrounds would be absolutely gridlocked without it, Scott. Absolutely gridlocked. So, Scott, what's on the sports report today?
Gambia. Let's talk about it generally.
Yeah. What? Wrestling, you mean?
How did you know that then?
Well, the question is moot, Scott. Much like the sports report
itself.
Just
want to ask you a question. Look, I might be getting off track, you know. We know that the average IQ of our listener is not high, Daniel, of our average listener. Right. Do they need, you know, funky special effects and special reports with all the sound effects, or can they actually sit still for a few minutes and listen to us talk? I've wondered that often.
Yeah, you're sort of encouraging back into that sort of negative speak, that trash talk of our listenership, Scott. And, you know, I'm no expert when it comes to fundraising, but if we want them to actually contribute to our Patreon account, it's best not to refer to them as dumb bastards or fuckwits all the time, Scott. They might get a little bit tetchy with that one. So for fuck's sake, continue with your sports report.
Yeah. And by the way, they don't fit into... Okay, I will.
Shut up.
Rambling. Yeah. The question is moot.
That's what I said,
like the sports report itself. That's what you said. Yeah. What I'd like to wonder is, I mean, let's be frank, the podcast is at the crossroads. That's why I'm urging the listeners to help us, Daniel. It's at the crossroads, budget cuts, looming changes, talk of a reboot.
Yeah.
And what I and others have been wondering is about the future of the sports report. Will it make the cut? Daniel, make some points.
Yeah, I spoke with the board earlier this week who in turn had released a survey out to the Simpleton Podcast Network.
Could you tell me the name of two board members?
Peggy O'Neill and Eddie Maguire.
Continue.
And to be frank, Scott, it's not pretty. The shareholders are very jittery. A recent survey of them revealed a desire for two major changes to be carried out as part of the overhaul. And these changes are the reinstatement of the Simpleton Podcast editorial team, which I don't think is going to happen, and the abolition of the sports report, which I fully support, absolutely fully support.
I see. Listen, a few years ago, I was referring to the shareholders, and in response, you responded emphatically that we don't have any.
Things have changed, Scott. These things are all about stability. So, of course, now the pressure is on. So this sports report better be good. The sports report now is essentially now done with. So if you want to live to see another day, you'd really want to perform and deliver something worthy of our listenership. So proceed.
You better believe it, bro. I've got something special.
Okay, go for it. Shoot.
The chief of the Gambian Wrestling Association, Sarayan Madao Acham, has announced his intention for the governing body to give the arena a bit of a touch-up. The recently completed wrestling season, which I believe
The arena?
Yes.
The arena?
Yes, that's what I said.
Well, do you want to be more specific? Or as my old boss used to say, do you want to be more Pacific? It actually reminds me of a time when I was flying back from Sydney, actually, and my boss was on the window side, and this mutual colleague was between her and I. Yeah. And we took off out of Sydney, and as we tilted down, you could see the blue, crystal blue waters of the Pacific Ocean. And so I whispered to my colleague who was sitting between both of us, I said, "Hey, look, mate, look, there's the Pacific Ocean." hilarity ensued. But let's continue. Scott, tell me, be more specific. What are we talking about?
Yeah. No. Some pissy wrestling arena in Gambia. Who cares, Daniel? The upgrade, are you satisfied with that response?
Yeah, we'll fucking just continue.
The upgrade is just one of several ways the administration wants to improve the state of Gambian wrestling following the completion of the recent season after it was controversially shortened, Daniel.
I wouldn't say controversial, Scott. Rather, actually, I think the word controversial is inadequate in this context.
All right.
The dismissal of Sirin Mudu Cham's predecessor was hardly trivial. I'll grant you that.
What was his name?
Eric.
Yeah. It was. Well done, Daniel.
Sports report has got to go. It has simply got to go.
Daniel, the Simpleton podcast editorial team will decide that, not yourself. They're back, baby. They're back. But let's get back to the story. Shit. So the main measures, include that with the arena, a greater push for wrestling clubs nationwide to be better structured. That's one measure. The same naturally goes for regional wrestling organizations and stronger growth in the relationship between the aforementioned and the GWA. Daniel, it's all there.
Semantics,
all there, bro.
Scott. Semantics. New laws to achieve this end will be implemented at the start of the new season. That's a given. Everyone knows that.
Okay.
The recent visit of Faye to Senegal was a positive
initiative. Okay, you just reintroduced a new name. Who's Faye? What's Faye?
I don't know. You tell me.
Ah, yes, Faye. I was at the dinner there. That's how they affectionately refer to Mr. Cham. It's a sort of an affectionate nickname.
Okay, well, you know, just get the make sure the running sheet's more clearer next time.
Yep.
Clearer. Just fucking clearer.
Clearer is better.
While there, Faye met with wrestling officials from that country. An agreement was made to start a program in which Gambian coaches are taught by their more experienced Senegalese counterparts.
They're Senegalese. Right, I'm going to ignore my next scripted question about semantics. What I would like to do is ask you... No, I will reinstate that question. Oh, semantics, Dan,
sake,
what do you
Scott,
mean by semantics?
Stick with the program.
I'm trying to... You told me to improvise before. You told me to improvise before this, and I'm trying to improvise, and I'm all over the shop.
Yeah,
I should stick to the running sheet, Daniel.
Not working. So what do I mean,
by semantics?
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
They can act all the measures they want, young man, young Scotty, but if you don't have happy wrestlers, let me tell you, you don't have a happy industry. That's why I was particularly impressed by the recent initiative proposed by Faye to reduce the registration fee from 5,000 D to 3,000 D due to the shorter duration of the season just past. But that can only just be the start, Scott.
Fourth time's a charm, Daniel. That fourth time was very good.
Shut up.
Yes. Who are some of the up-and-comers in Gambian wrestling, and what competition is just around the horizon? We've got to cap this thing off, Daniel.
I don't want to single out any wrestlers. It's wrestling, as you know, is a team sport.
Yeah.
And I don't want to single out anyone in particular. But I tell you what, I am looking forward to the Gambian wrestling team putting on an exhibition at the Hang Gliding Club of Benalla. Coming up shortly. I think we need to put a call out now to some of our simpletons. Going to need some billets to house these guys while they're here in our as guests of our country.
We already have two that have put their hand up, Daniel. You start.
Yeah, Fart and Lippo have put up their hands, and I think the Trotters, Anastasia and Buck, have also put up their hands. So thank you to the Bucks and to the Farts and Lippo.
Thank
and
you very
of course,
much.
The grand finale of their visit to our fair shores will be them doing an exhibition at the Henty Field Days, Scott. A one, two, three, four.
Going to the Henty Field Days. A lot of good people there. I'll see you at the Henty Field Days. There's nothing like it anywhere.
Okay, that'll do.
All right.
Scott, that will be the last sports report. I can guarantee you that. That was absolutely shithouse. So, Scott, you know what time it is now?
Our listeners' letters.
You bet your cute little ass. We couldn't do the Simpleton without you listeners. And so if you have any correspondence to send to us at all, please send it to contact@simpletonpodcasts.com, and we'll make sure that your letters of import get to air. Scott, I believe you have the first letter.
I do. This is from Pilchard Wren of Glasgow. This is what he or she writes. Not happy, guys. I recently heard one of your ad spots, the one about deodorant for horses. I enthusiastically called the number given to place my order, trying repeatedly, mind you, but without success. It's almost like the number had been changed or was wrong. Daniel, what do you think about that?
I think Pilchard might be dyslexic. if we go back and actually visit that ad, which we won't now because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
And I've got to have dinner.
Yeah.
The number is clear as a bell, and we guarantee you that it works. I've got the second letter, Scott.
Who's it from?
This one is from Anonymous, from Fitzroy.
Yeah.
And Anonymous writes, Thank you. Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you.
very valuable contribution. Thank you.
Thank you, Anonymous. This one, Daniel, is from Fawn McCauley, Subiaco, Perth. Fawn writes, in this age of amazing advancements in technology and medicine, I recently found myself wondering if it would be possible to actually swap people over bit by bit. You know, you take someone's arm off, swap it with someone else. Another time you do the other arm, then you get onto the legs, all very thorough and methodical. Eventually you do the torso and all of the organs, and as soon as it would be possible to do a head transplant, you swap heads. Imagine that. Actually swapping places with another person. Wow.
Thanks, Fawn.
Thank you, Fawn.
You keep those letters coming in.
Keep them coming
in. Okay, Scott, thankfully that brings us to the end of what has been episode 69 of the Simpleton Podcast.
Yep.
Is there anything in the weeks and days ahead that our Simpleton listeners should be aware of?
There is. You thought I wasn't prepared. The trial of Garth Hill and his cohorts over the riots is that Railway Street?
Yeah, the fabled riots, the Railway Street riots of 2017.
Yep.
Scott.
Expect a verdict.
What's your gut telling you?
Well, three grand juries have been replaced. Two judges, sitting judges replaced, Daniel. Turbulent times. I reckon they've got to walk the tightrope here. They've got to take a stand for law and order, but not upset the populace too much. I expect a guilty plea, but a light sentence.
Mm. Okay.
I
don't really have anything for you. Well, I'll ask everyone to keep an eye out for Paul Anderson out at the Punt Road End during the upcoming AFL final season.
Which hopefully goes beyond two games.
It will.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you for your time, Simpletons. Scott, I say this begrudgingly, but thank you for your time.
Ditto.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.